Good morning, folks. How are we doing this morning? I'm supposed to talk about some event that's going on this weekend with our youth, man. Do I got any youth in the building, here? Well, if I got y'all in the building, hit me here with an oh-yo. Okay, that's how y'all know we in the building, folks. So, hey, my name is Kevin Dupree. I'm the youth pastor here at Grace Community Church. Absolutely love it. Love pouring into our youth and our leaders, man, our volunteers. We thank you guys so much. We have our Big Chill Weekend coming up this weekend, the 26th through the 28th. And I'm telling you, we are excited and pumped. Y'all gonna get a little pregame today, man. I'm telling my preacher, man, we may have a retreat sermon today. You know what I mean? We may have all types of stuff. So, man, I'm pumped. Our team is pumped. And so we're so grateful for, you know, you guys signing your kids up. And also supporting. We've had so many people support us to come alongside us and, you know, sponsor kids and things like that. So we thank you guys so much for that. And so, students, I hope you're ready. And remember, we unplugging from the world and plugging into Jesus. So leave them electronics at the house. No electronics, parents. We eat free that weekend because we believe that there's a source that we tend to unplug in from the day to day, but this is an opportunity for us to plug in and get downloaded on. So please make sure those electronics are there. And then this, I would be remiss, man. Like, I get a lot of, like I said, y'all celebrate me. Ah, Pastor Kevin and whatnot. It still hasn't went away, but man, I would be remiss if I didn't do this. I know we ain't spoke, but hey, I want to shout out this woman right here, man. Stand up, Cindy Rock. Stand up, Cindy Rock. Hey, man. Give it up for this lady right here, man. Hey, I know I get a lot upset, but man, I'm telling you, Grace Youth wouldn't run the way it do without this woman right here. It's some things that Pastor Kevin couldn't do, Josh couldn't do, man. We get recognition, but man, I want y'all, when y'all see that lady's face, I want y'all to celebrate her just like y'all celebrate us, man, because she does so much for the youth ministry. So, Cindy Rock, thank you, girl. Thank you. I appreciate you. All right. Don't count that against my time now. Let's do it. Are y'all ready to join? Y'all ready to dive back into this thing, Genesis? Have y'all been enjoying Genesis? The beginning? All right. So, hey, if you got your journals or you got your Bibles, I want you to open them up. We're going to be in Genesis 17 today, Genesis chapter 17. And here at Grace, we like to stand for the reading of the word. So if you can do that in tandem there. So I have to tell you, though, like Kay Can said, like Doug always says, hey, it is so much that's within these chapters and context that, hey, man, we couldn't cover it all here. So you have to be making sure that you're digging into these scriptures outside of Sunday so that you can stay up with us. And then also, man, keep track. Keep feeding yourself. You got to feed yourself at times. This can't just be, hey, man, we spoon feeding you. We got to grow in our maturity. So make sure you're in that. I have the tall task of covering 5 chapters today, 16 through 20. But, hey, I feel like I'm going to give you a key today to unlock all of these chapters for what God was downloading. I'm gonna give you a key so that when you go back and read it, you can say, oh, I see the thread that's running through there. So Genesis 17, we're gonna start at verse 7 and read through 14 there. I will. God says, I will confirm my covenant with you and your descendants after you from generation to generation. This is the everlasting covenant. I will always be your God and the God of your descendants after you. And I will give the entire land of Canaan, where you now live as foreigners, to you and your descendants. It will be their possession forever, and I will be their God. Then God said to Abraham, your responsibility is to obey the terms of the covenant. You and all your descendants have this continual responsibility. This is the covenant that you and your descendants must keep. Something's key there. God's repeating this. This is what you must keep. This is a responsibility. So don't miss that when you're reading there. Each male among you must be circumcised. You must cut off the flesh of your foreskin as a sign of the covenant between me and you. From generation to generation, every male child must be circumcised on the 8th day after his birth. This applies not only to the members of your family, but also to the servants born in your household and the foreign-born servants whom you have purchased. All must be circumcised. your bodies will bear the mark of an everlasting covenant. Any male who fails to be circumcised will be cut off from the covenant family for breaking the covenant. Before I pray, I want to give y'all the title of my message today, and that is going to be Standing on Business. Standing on business. On the count of three, y'all say that with me. One, two, three.
Standing
We're standing on business this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord. Thank you for the sweet time I got to spend with you, God. You downloading this message, God. I thank you for your willingness to give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you want us to hear, God. Not for our own glory, not for our own boasting, God, but so that we can come to you with an incense, a sweet smelling aroma, with how we live our lives, with the words that we say. So God, let transformation happen today. Let change happen today, God. Let us not leave the same way we came, all because your living word got into our hearts. We thank you in advance for what you're going to do, and it's in Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen, amen. There we go. Somebody got amen, amen, amen. You may be seated, but you ain't got to be silent. If you feel like saying something, shout it out. I'm okay with that. You could amen, shout. You could dance, but you may get tapped on something. I don't know if somebody may tap you on the shoulder if you dance. So standing on business. If you got a little swag to you, if you're a youth or something, you may say standing on business. So we're doing standing on business. And now this term, when it's vernacular, is a phrase that's used by the younger generation right now. And so what I want to do is I want to get us all on the same playing field today. So some of my seasoned folks, some of my wiser folks who may not know what this term standing on business means, I want to give you an example. Can I give you an example of what this term means so that we all on the same playing field? Is that cool? Okay, perfect. Okay, so if you were here 2 years ago, February 13th, 2022, then you would have had the pleasure of watching me stand up on this stage and parade around and preach a message in my St. Louis Rams, LA Rams gear. You may have had the pleasure of that. That's fine. Get a boost. I'm telling you, you're going to like where I'm going here. So you may have got to see that. Then later on, you may have watched my Facebook Live as I celebrated and went crazy as my Los Angeles Rams won Super Bowl 56. Okay? Now, fast forward to 2 weeks ago. And I got to be honest with y'all, church, I had been drinking the Kool-Aid. Y'all know what Kool-Aid I'm talking about. This Lions Kool-Aid. I was drinking this Lions Kool-Aid. They had just came off of being cheated by Dallas. We can say it was a cheat, right? They got cheated by Dallas. Come on. Michigan was on that run, getting ready to go play for the national championship. I just said, you know what? I'm in the land. I'm just going to give in right now. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I said, go blue and restore the roar, y'all. I said it both. I ain't going to lie to you. I said it before I left. I said both of those terms 2 weeks ago. Only to find out later that evening, after y'all Lions took care of the Vikings and my LA Rams took care of the 49ers, to find out that these two teams would meet each other in the first round of the wild card playoffs. So now, church, I'm in a dilemma. I'm in a quandary now. Y'all see what I'm saying? I'm drinking the Kool-Aid for these last 2 weeks, and I'm celebrating. Restore the world. Go blue. But I have been drinking this L.A., this St. Louis Ram Kool-Aid for 2.5 decades already. So I'm in a quandary, and that's where my phrase or this saying comes in, that I had to stand on business. I had to walk the walk. I couldn't just talk the talk. I had to walk the walk. So I stood on my LA Rams. I couldn't flake. I had to stand in what I believed in, what I had been rooting for years. I couldn't switch. I couldn't flake. I had to stand on business, and that's what I did. I stood on business all the way down to the last second. I watched the game. I was so intense. I mean, y'all, 3 red zone stops, man. I mean, y'all got to give it to y'all. Y'all supposed to win that. 3 red zone stops. Good job. But I stood on business, and I'm standing here today to stand on some more business to tell you, restore the roar. I'm going for y'all. I'm rooting for y'all. Restore the roar. Just don't give me no gear. But do we get what I'm saying here about this? Don't give me no gear. Please don't. I won't wear it. I'm telling you. I promise you right now. I'm not a fan. I'm just an excited spectator right now. That's it. But do we all understand where I'm going with this standing on business? It's about believing in what you're believing in. Say what you mean. Handle your business. Talk the talk and walk the walk. And now that we understand this lingo this morning, I want to start us off with this big fact. And that big fact is we serve a God who stands on business. You see, in this book, from Genesis to Revelation, all throughout this book, is God standing on business. He's not only talking the talk, but he's walking the walk. He's putting his money where his mouth is. In every circumstance and situation, God is standing on business. And the tool that he uses to exercise his ability to stand on business is covenants or promises. You see, this Bible is filled with thousands of promises that God has laid out. Usually they come in the form of I will statements or you are going to, or it's these statements that he lays out that are promises that he's giving to us. And see, covenants are like contracts in the sense that there are terms laid out for multiple parties, but where God's covenants differ from a contract is that one party has bound himself to the covenant until fulfillment or for eternity. You see, Pastor Doug told us a couple weeks ago, God is faithful even when we're faithless. Hey, the Bible says, while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. You see, whether we sign on to the covenant or not, or whether we stay faithful to it or not, God's positioning does not change in the process. And I go as far as to say, not only is God standing on business and that he's faithful, hey, God is faithful when it comes to time. When it comes to time. Or excuse me, God is faithful despite time. See, when God was speaking this covenant over Abraham, hey, he was saying, I'm going to give this, I'm going to keep this covenant even after you're gone. See, Abraham didn't get to really eat on the land of Canaan. It happened almost 600 years later when his family was able to walk in. The Israelites were called to take hold of the land of milk and honey. So Abraham didn't taste it, but God is not bound to time, church. God is outside of time. So he doesn't think, oh man, all I got is 80 years to do what I need to do in your life. No. God is outside of time. He's not bound by time. He's going to be faithful despite time. Look at what Romans 8:18 says. It says, yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory that will be revealed to us. See, it's some things that we've been praying for, that we're believing about. It's some things that our ancestors, maybe a lost loved one, they were praying about. But see, God is not bound to time. So maybe he didn't keep it in the flesh, but I guarantee you he's going to keep it in eternity. I wonder how many of us have lost sight of eternity. When did eternity stop being enough for us? You see, we want it here and now, but God says, I'm a God of eternity. And now don't get me wrong, because I'm with you. I want to, hey, let me taste your goodness in the land of the living. Me and my family, we've seen God's hand move. We've seen promises come to pass in our health and in purpose, getting us here to Michigan. We've seen his promises come to pass. But let us not be remiss to understand that God is not bound by time. He's faithful despite time. Me standing here today preaching was a prayer that my grandma prayed. She didn't see her grandson preaching God's word. She didn't see her grandson give his life to Christ. But the things that she was praying for, God said, I'm not bound to time. I got that boy up there preaching his butt off now. See, church, we got to understand that we got a God that's outside of time. And I want to ask you, what business are you believing for God to stand on in your life? What business have you stopped believing in and stopped hoping in because you can't see it? I pray that you grasp that hope again today. And see, not only do we have a God that stands on business, we have a God that's serious about standing on the business that he stands on, and he expects us to take that business serious as well too. Case in point, when you go back and you read chapter 18, where God goes and talks to Abraham about Sodom and Gomorrah. He rose up on Abraham and said, yo, hey, look, bro, I got to go take care of business over here in Sodom and Gomorrah. They tripping. They out here wilding out. I got to go destroy the whole town. They wicked. They are just above. I can't take them no more. That's how Abraham and God was talking. You know what I mean? God was like, yo, gee, I got to take them out. I got to go ride on Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham, he's thinking like, yo, wait a minute. my nephew and his family's over there. So he's like, man, I got to try to wiggle him out of this right now. So he gets to trying to bargain with God. He's like, yo, hey, God, check it out. I know you got to go ride on him, but let's calm down. I know you get to go on, but hey, what if you go over there and find 50 righteous people? Will you spare the city? And God came back real quick, like, yep, I'll do that. And then Abraham was like, whoa, he came back too fast on that. I must have lowballed it there. I must have shot too high. So he come back and say, man, what about 40 people? God said, yeah, that's cool. 30, bet. 20, yep, cool. Man, this dude, 10 people. If you find 10 people, will you say, God said, all right, we going to find, if we try 10 people, I save the land. So God sends a couple of angels over there to go talk to Lot and say, hey, check this out, because I think this is a powerful message right here. Genesis 19, 12. It says, meanwhile, the angel questioned Lot. Look at what he asked him. Do you have any other relatives here in the city? They asked. Get them out of this place. Man, I think that's one of the most powerful discipleship evangelistic tools right there that he says. I wonder how many of us don't see the people around us who need Jesus. He's saying, get them out of there. You don't have anybody else that you can go grab, rally up? How many of us are just sitting at our workplace worried about us? And God is saying, is there anyone here that you love? We sit around a lunch table at work, but are you telling them about Jesus? Are you getting them out of their place of darkness? Are you getting them out of their place of anger and wrath and bitterness? And God is trying to tell Lot, hey, man, do you have anybody to get out of this place? Because I'm going to stand on business. And God just does that very thing. He stands on business because guess what? He only found four righteous people in the town. And that was Lot, his wife, and his two daughters. And so God stood on business and destroyed the city. But like I said, not only is he serious about standing on his business, he's serious about us standing on that same business. Because I just told you that he saw four righteous people, but sadly to say, he only found three righteous people. Because on their way out, check out what happened here. Genesis 17, 17 says, when they were safely out of the city, one of the angels was ordered, run for your lives and don't look back. Or stop anywhere in the valley, escape to the mountains, or you will be swept away. See, Lot's wife looked back, and she turned into a pillar of salt right then and there. I wonder how many of us are experiencing death in our life because we keep trying to look back. We keep trying to stay stuck in the past. Our lives are turning into these pillars of salt because we don't understand how serious God is about his business. Are you taking God's business serious? Do you reverence God? We've lost that word. Where's the reverence for God and what his word says? Or has the world caused us to water down God? Do we take God as a joke? If you do, in the words of my big granny, boy, you better stop playing with God because he stands on business. And now to drive us into the passage that I read about today that I started us off with in 17. See, this passage in 17 talks about the covenant between God and Abraham. And I want us to lay out some details here because, see, Genesis 17, verse 4 through 6, it says, God is laying out the terms for this thing. He says, I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. What's more, I'm changing your name, your identity, what you was once connected to. Hey, man, you won't be identified as that anymore. You'll no longer be Abram. Instead, you'll be called Abraham. For you will be the father of many nations. I will make you extremely fruitful. Hey, that should excite somebody. God ain't afraid of making you fruitful. God ain't afraid of blessing your life. Your descendants will become many nations, and kings will be among them. You see, this is God saying, this is the business I'm going to stand on. This is what I'm going to make come to pass for your life. And he's saying, hey, if I'm going to stand on this business, I need you to stand on some business. You have some responsibility as well that I need you to stand on. So he said, if you continue this practice of circumcision, which was the practice they had to keep, this mark of circumcision. And I stress the word practice because I have to enlighten us today, church, because I believe that some of us, we don't understand Old Testament or biblical principles. And because of that, we've gotten ourselves into bondage and feel these burdens because we're practicing practices that we don't understand the greater purpose of. You see, I want you to write this down if you're taking notes right here, because I think this is going to set some of us free. Let me take a drink, set my throat free. I'm parched. It's the weather, y'all. I'm telling you right now, it's the weather. I thought they was going to call for an emergency state of evacuation. How cold it got the other week. We needed to evacuate the state. Boy, it's cold, cold. So write this down if you're taking notes. Every practice has a greater principle, but not every practice should be practice. You see, there were specific practices that were given to the Israelite people at that time for that community. And it's things that we go back and see that they were blessed about, and we want to do them in our lives. And then we wonder, why ain't I seeing the same thing they got going on? And God is saying, no, I stand on business. It's just you cannot see that I don't stay stuck in religious practices. I have a greater purpose in everything that I'm doing. And once you understand the greater purpose, then you can get the greater prize. You see, church, when we try to practice practices without understanding the greater principle, we will miss the true prize God intended for us to have. And the greater principle that was locked away into this circumcision, yes, it was connected to the mark that I would be able to see. You would inherit this promise. I would keep it for many descendants. But God was saying the greater principle inside of that was I got to get a hold of man's heart. I'm trying to get this principle of circumcision through you because, yes, this is a mark, but I'm trying to get to your heart. Because, church, look at here. Look at what Psalms 24:3 says. It says, who can climb the mountain of the Lord? Who can stand in his holy place? Only those whose hands and hearts are pure. Some versions say clean hands and pure hearts. Look at Matthew 15:8. It says, these people honor me with their lips. We stand in worship. We honor him with our lips. We look good in front of people. But he says their hearts are far from me. I wonder how many of us are battling with that tension. We sit up here and praise these, sing these songs. We look good in front of people with the lips, but our hearts are far from us. God is trying to get a hold of man's heart. Why? Because check this out. God knows if I can get a hold of the man's heart, then I can get a hold of the man's hands. I can get a hold of the man's legs, his feet. I can get a hold of the man's ears, his eyes, his legs. If I can get a hold of the man, then I can get the man to stand on business, and I can get anything I need to in and through his life. See, God is after the heart. Some of us keep thinking, if I just give enough, if I just serve enough, if I just do all of these external actions, if I just do the external circumcision that looks good on the outside, and God is saying, I'm trying to get to the heart. Because if I can get to the heart, I can get everything else. We got to get this thing right, church, because if not, we will labor in vain and then be upset with God. Next big idea, standing on business will require some circumcision of our hearts. If you are going to stand on business, it will require the circumcision of your heart. And look at what Romans 2:29 said. This is Paul having a discussion with some people that's like, yo, hey, what changed? You know, I'm a Jew, man. We got circumcision. Ain't we? Shouldn't we stand above everybody else? What's the problem here? Now you're saying it's Christ and all of this. But look at Paul's response. He says, no, a true Jew is one who's what? Heart. Read it like you mean it. Heart. I know some of us wish that said my hands is what made me right. No. Your heart is made right with God. And true circumcision, look at what he's saying, that act of circumcision, the true meaning of it is not merely obeying the letter of the law, not obeying the 613 laws that was laid out. He's saying it's a change of heart produced by the Holy Spirit. And I love that the word identified who produces it. It didn't leave it up to us, because can I tell you one thing? The reason why the Holy Spirit has to do it is because us humans, we like to hide stuff. See, we like to hide our dirty hands. We like to hide our dirty thoughts. We like to hide our dirty money. We like to hide our dirty relationships. Humans like to hide things, and God is saying, I got to get somebody that's not going to allow you to hide your dirty things. And not only do we like to hide things, we like to stay attached to things that give us a sense of comfort and control. Maybe a relationship that you're holding on to, a mindset or a belief. We like to hang on to sinful behavior, unforgiveness, resentment. We like to hide these things and stay attached to them. We like to cling to what's comfortable and what brings us control. But can I ask this question to you, church? What if what you're clinging to, what if what I'm clinging to is actually killing us? What if those things are actually bringing us death? When we think, I got control, I feel comfortable, but it's actually sucking the life out of you. What if what you're hiding is actually hindering us from feeling connected to God? What things are we not willing to allow God to circumcise out of our life? And this is another one. If you're taking notes, I want you to drop out of here. Anything we're not willing to cut away will ultimately cause us to feel cut off from God. I got to say that one again. Anything we're not willing to cut away, anything we're not willing to show God and allow him to circumcise out of our life that he's asking us to, will ultimately cause us to feel a disconnect from him. Don't blame God for the gap if you're not willing to give him that garbage. You see, we must be obedient and stand on the business that God is calling us to circumcise or cut away, because the Holy Spirit is ready to do soul surgery. But he needs you to bring those dirty hands, those sinful thoughts. He needs you to bring all of that out, because he sees it all. He wants to align us with the Father's heart so that we don't just talk the talk, but we walk the walk and actually stand on the Father's business. Matter of fact, I would like to say he wants us to stand on his abundant business for our lives. In church, I believe that God has some abundant business that he wants to release in each and every one of our lives, but he has to do some circumcision first. And I believe within these five chapters, God pointed out four things, areas of circumcision that I believe he wants us to look at when it comes to what we need to allow him to cut away. And so out of this thing, chapter 16, the first one I want us to look at is God is wanting to circumcise our timing. He's wanting to circumcise our timing. See, Abraham and Sarah and them had got into this land of Canaan. They had been there for 10 years and still no son of their own. So they're like, hey, yo, God, what's happening, man? You said you was going to give me many descendants or whatnot. I ain't got no child or whatnot. You know, Doug was telling us, hey, man, he was going to have to give it to one of his servants or whatnot. And it's like, yo, what's happening? So they sped up the timing and they got into an ordeal with the servant woman. And Abraham had sex with her to conceive a child. But God says, no, that's not my timing there. And as I was right doing this here, Doug dropped a one-liner on me that was so good, and I loved it. And he said, see, we don't struggle with what God tells us. See, we don't struggle with the, oh, I'm going to bless you. Hey, I'm going to heal you. Hey, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to take you to a land. I'm going to give you the bit. We don't struggle with the what God tells us. We struggle with the when God's going to do it in our lives. Oh, church, we struggle with that when. We get all giddy, boy, when he say, I'm going to do something in your life. God, you're going to use my life. Yes, you're going to send me over there, get to preaching to folks and whatnot. And 2015, oh, you're going to get me to the land in 2019. 4 years of tension. God, I know you called me, but I'm still here. I didn't struggle with the what. I struggled with the when. And God is saying, I got to circumcise your timing. I got to cut away what you think is supposed to happen, when you think it's supposed to happen. Second thing that he wants to circumcise is our will. God is wanting to circumcise our will. See, Hagar got involved with this. This wasn't even her problem or whatnot. But she got this. She got tired of that baby mama wife drama that's going on right there. Just for a side note there, hey, y'all fellas and whatnot, one wife, one woman. It's easy right there. No, it's hard enough with just one. Don't get involved and get to mixing all of this here. Lord knows, we love our wives. But I'm telling you, all I can do is one. When I see all of this, Hagar's like, I got to get up out of here. They tripping. And see, God finds Hagar in the wilderness, and he pumps her brakes, said, yo, hey, slow down. Where you going, shorty? He's like, hey, I can't take none of that no more down there. He says, no. I got to circumcise your will, and I need you to go back. That had to have been hard for Hagar to hear. That I got to go back. But see, God would later speak a blessing over her, Hagar, about her son Ishmael, that she was going to eat off of. It was going to be a blessing for her that was going to come through her son Ishmael in the form of descendants as well. See, church, God's purpose and will is always greater than ours, even when it doesn't feel like it in the moment. See, that's the problem. When it don't feel like, man, that's of you, God. When it don't feel like this got me winning, God. See, we don't like it, but God is saying, I got to circumcise your will so that you will later on understand that my purpose and plan was greater than anything you could have ever done. God has a greater purpose and will for our lives. Third thing. Is this good for y'all? Is it good? Yeah. All right. Okay. Perfect. All right. I got to stay on track. I'm y'all silent right now. Okay. The third thing he wants to circumcise is our disbelief. Our disbelief. Hey, when you go back and read this later on today, you're going to see, and I didn't catch this when I used to read it back then, but Sarah and Abraham both laugh when God told them about giving them a son. And I was like, wait a minute. They both laugh. But Sarah was the only one that got in trouble. Y'all used to hate that growing up. It's like, but they were doing it first. What are you? I get in trouble? Sarah got in trouble for laughing. But see, I'm like, God, so what was that about? But God had to show me, Abraham laughed in disbelief of how it would happen. He's like, yo, God, all right, man, I think you can do it, but man, how you going to do this here, man? I'm not saying that you can. But see, Sarah laughed in disbelief that he could do it. See, there's a difference between us saying, hey, God, I just don't know how you're going to do it. I believe you can do it in my life, but I just don't know how you're going to do it. How you going to change my mind? How you going to get me out of this mental depression? How you going to save this marriage? How you going to save this wayward child? How you going to give my womb a life to where I can bear children? God, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I believe you can. It's the difference between that and saying, God, I don't think you can do that. God, you can't save this marriage. God, you can't save that baby. That baby's lost. That drug addict, but he can't. It's a difference. And Sarah got in trouble because she laughed because she didn't believe that God can do it. And church, God wants to circumcise our hearts of this disbelief and get us back in a place of hoping again. And number four, fourth thing he's trying to circumcise out of our life is sin. You see, God knows that we have a willingness. When we have a willingness to cut away sin, it will lead to a lesser desire to sin. It's not that the temptation to sin goes away, because the enemy is going to keep coming in your life and picking at you and keep bringing back up stuff from life. He wants to tempt you with past things. So the temptation of sin is not going to go away, but your desire to want to lean into the sin should lessen and lessen the more you allow God to circumcise that sin out of your life. And why? Why is this going to happen like this? Because we will grow an understanding of the fact that sin brings separation between us and God. And if you mature, you know God never intended for man to be separated from him. Why? He understands that sin has a high cost. Look at what Romans 6:23 says. Right here, 6:23. For the wages of sin, the cost of sin, the penalty of sin is death. I know some of us like to wish that this word was good deeds. The wages of sin is good deeds. Well, I've done enough good deeds. Oh, I sinned. All right, I just got to go give. I just got to be good. Hey, I know we wish it was the good deeds that gave us the payment for that penalty. And I know some of us say, well, I'm going to die anyway, so he can have my life then. I'm going to stay at what I want. Your life ain't spotless enough. Your life ain't sinless enough to pay that payment right there. Only life that was spotless enough, sinless enough, that was clean enough was Jesus' life. His life is the only one that can pay this penalty. And it's the only life that will ever pay that penalty. You see, church, I'm not trying to, I don't want to scare anybody into the kingdom this morning. But as I land this plane today, there's a reason why God is standing on business. And throughout this whole thing, I believe one of the key things that God was showing me is that he was trying to show us about separation in these five chapters. When you go read them, you're going to see God is separating people from places, separating Abraham's wife from Abimelech, separating Lot from the town. It was about this separation. But then also God had to show me that he stands on business because he's looking for restoration. You see, God is saying, me giving Abraham a land, me blessing him, me being connected to him in covenant forever is a foreshadowing for me and what I want for my creation. God is wanting to give us an eternal land, church. God is wanting to give us an eternal relationship with him. God is wanting to restore everything back to Genesis 1 and 2. and make it even better. The thing about this Genesis 1 is that he will actually have people who chose him, who stood on his business in spite of all that the world had to offer. They stood on business, and now God says, I want to give you an eternal land. I'm looking for restoration. God has a promise that he wants to release. God is circumcising all of humanity through the Holy Spirit, and he is trying to cut away and separate anyone who isn't about his business so that he can restore everything back to his original plan. And church, can I tell you today, anyone who doesn't receive that mark, that circumcision, that choosing of Jesus Christ, anyone who does not receive that, you will experience eternity in hell. Flat out. I'm not sugarcoating it today. If you don't choose Jesus, your life on this earth, no matter how much you attain, you will feel like it's a living hell. If you don't choose Jesus. But the good news today is none of us under the sound of my voice today have to experience that. Because the option, the opportunity is still available right now for you to accept and receive a Jesus Christ who paid the debt for your sin, whose blood is pure enough, whose blood is clean enough to wipe away those sins, for you to experience life and life more abundantly. See, you still have time to accept that sacrifice. That's the only way that after we leave this dirt body, we'll enter into paradise. It's the only one-way ticket there. See, church, God will restore his creation. He's going to stand on business. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. There will be streets of gold. There will be no more sickness. There will be no more death. There will be no more being scared for your life. It will be no more of that stuff right there. He will stand on that business. And my last question for you today is, well, last couple is, will you be standing on that business when Jesus returns? And if so, if that's what you're going to stand on, who are you sharing God's business with so that they too can be standing on that business when Jesus returns? Let us pray. God, I thank you so much for your word. God, thank you that the opportunity for life and life more abundantly is still available through Jesus Christ, God. All it takes is us believing, repent and believe that we might be saved, that Jesus Christ paid the debt, God. Anyone in here that may be struggling with that tension, God, and still lacking, still wanting to divulge in sin, God, I pray that it breaks this morning, God. I pray that they be set free, God, and experience what you have for them, Lord. God, you will stand on business. You're calling us to stand on business. And so, God, help us with that through the power of the Holy Spirit this morning. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody say it. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, I got a couple things. We had a team that prays for you guys, prays for our church before each service. And this is a few things that they heard. They said that someone may be seeking warmth. Someone may be struggling with headaches or struggling with destruction. There's someone that may be crushed in spirit and heart. And then there's someone that's just needing hope. And so if that any of that resonates with you, we'll have our prayer team down here that's ready to pray for you. But if none of that resonates with you, you say, man, it's time for me to stop playing games. It's time for me to stand on God's business. You've been feeling the call. Whatever it is, maybe some pain in your body or whatnot, you as well come down and grab prayer, man. So thank you guys so much. Man, have a great rest of your Sunday. Thank you guys for coming. Restore the roar, baby. Restore the roar. Let's go.